Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Turning Towards Life from Third Space with me, Justin, and with Lizzie. We are really, really delighted to be doing this again for our 97th week. Can never believe it, Lizzie, when we say the numbers. I mean, the numbers are so unimportant, but really, here we are again, which is a great joy for me anyway. And what else is there to say? But we're really glad you're with us, whether you're with us live, as we know many people are, and or whether you're listening later on a podcast or on YouTube or something like that. We're glad you're here. It's what makes it possible. And morning, Lizzie, really pleased to see you as well.
Yeah, I'm also really happy to be here and, as usual, feel held by the practice of being here and finding a source. And this source today feels strangely quite short. We normally have quite kind of long ones, but when I read it, it opened so many things for me. And finding out that there are people who have really delved into the nature of what it means to be in human relationship, and then they've written things about it, that's such a joy for me. So I'm really glad to be bringing this, and glad to be here, and glad to just be continuing on and keeping the conversation going, really. And it's, as ever, so lovely to see that when we come off of here, it's not like we sit looking at the comments, because we're, you know, our primary broadcast, as it were, is on Facebook. And when people comment, and for us, I know you do the same, Justin, because we often respond to people. But last week we had a very lovely couple of little conversations underneath the video. And just to know that you're there, the listeners, as well as we're here, the also listeners, but the conveners, if you like, it's a really incredible thing. So I'm very grateful. And I want to just say a hello to everybody and thank you for being here. And this conversation, I think, that Adrienne Rich is beginning us on with this source, is such an underpinning part of everything for me. And so I have no idea what I want to say about it. Like, it's always that feeling with the source, like I really don't know. And yet I can feel the potency and the richness and the possibility of it. So I'm going to read, and then Justin, will you read after me?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Adrienne Rich, an honorable human relationship, that is one in which two people have the right to use the word love, is a process delicate, violent, often terrifying to both persons involved, a process of refining the truths they can tell each other. It is important to do this because it breaks down human self-delusion and isolation. It is important to do this because in doing so, we do justice to our own complexity. It is important to do this because we can count on so few people to go that hard way with us.
An honourable human relationship. That is, one in which two people have the right to use the word love, is a process, delicate, violent, often terrifying to both persons involved, a process of refining the truths that they can tell each other. It is important to do this because it breaks down human self-delusion and isolation. It is important to do this because in doing so, we do justice to our own complexity. It is important to do this because we can count on so few people to go that hard way with us.
Oh, it's such an invitation. I feel, my goodness, it's so gorgeous. And the first bit that, when I was just having my eyes closed there and listening to you, Justin, the bit that really holds me is I've felt so many times my delusions and loneliness fall away because I've been challenged in relationship. Like, many times it's so annoying that people say, well, actually, you know, you're being like this. Or I think you need to rethink that because I think you're off, or you're being mean or judgmental or whatever it is. And I think the strength of that challenge often comes more intense somehow for me, the closer the relationship is. Like, the more the relationship means to me, the deeper the inquiry becomes somehow. And I feel like there's a way that we could just reference ourselves. Like, there are certain ways that I could think, well, I'm right about everything, or I know what I'm doing, or whatever. And then the realm of relationship kind of gives me a relative check as to whether I'm being real or not. And so I so appreciate that Adrian Rich is selling us that the value of it helps to break down this self-delusion and isolation, and however painful it is to pass through into, like, back into connection again, because of and for the sake of relationship, I always feel gladder for the process having happened around something, even though it's really painful and wounding and difficult, which is why she talks about the hard way, I think. I don't think it's an easy way to live. I think many times it's so much easier to be alone and just, this is my world and I'm independent of everybody else and I don't need anybody. I could totally find that in myself to withdraw and isolate and just say, well, I'm out of here. And yet the value of the relationship keeps me coming back to something. It's worth something, and therefore something deeper can come because the relationship is worth something to me, that I would do the work inside of me to come back into the room again rather than just run away or say, forget this, I'm not doing it anymore.
I so know that feeling of wanting to run, Lizzie, when you say it that way. And I know one of the things I've learned from being in conversation with you is what can happen when you tell the truth. So you're someone in the world who I know is a truth teller. And I'm saying that to you, and of course saying that to everyone, because I realized as you were talking what a big and terrifying deal everything that Adrian is writing about here has been for me. So I so recognize the apparent safety of withdrawing. And I've been looking more and more recently actually about how I suppose many of us found ourselves in the world this way, how for years and years and years self-evident it was for me never to risk doing or saying anything that would upset or trouble another human being. Like the way to be in the world is to never cause any ripples and then I'll be safe. And consequently what came with that was trying to organize myself and organize my relationship so that nobody would ever cause ripples with me. So it was like a sort of two-way deal, which is I promise to live in such a way that I won't ever upset you or say anything that could be edgy or truthful or, you know, really truthful. And I demand at the same time that you never say anything that ruffles or riles me. And it, you know, goodness, for decades of my life, that felt like it was like obvious that that's the way it should be. And the idea that anybody would ever tell me the truth about myself was just terrifying. And I suppose because my big fear was that's when I'll find out how inadequate I am, and that's when I'll find out how unloved I am. And I'll find out that the secret thing that everybody isn't telling me that I don't want to hear is my complete awfulness. So let's just live a life where that can never, ever, ever show up. And it is such a lonely place to live. It's such a far away place to live. And it's also such a fearful at least my experience of it was, and sometimes still is, but much more was, what a way to live where we are terrified all the time that if someone opens their mouth and speaks to us, like if somebody opens their mouth and speaks to me about me, I'll disappear, I'll die. And that's one of the reasons there's so many things I love about what Adrian Rich has written here, but one of them is this part that you were pointing to, which is being able to say something about the necessariness of being truthful with one another. And that is the only way we get to say that we love and are loved by someone, is really when we can find a way to be truthful. But also, it's hard, yes, but it's also delicate, well, and it's terrifying, yes. And it's how we undo our isolation from one another, and it's how we find our realness with one another. And I suppose I'm saying all of this in this way because it took me, oh my goodness, just the longest time to feel any possibility of breaking out of or being helped to break out of this kind of shell of safety to really be in contact. And everything from inside that shell of apparent safety was so tentative and so fragile. Because it's like being encased in a, I don't know, a glass cocoon or something. I shouldn't say anything, and don't touch me. And life is really hard to live. So there's something extraordinarily life-giving and love-filled in learning to say truthful things about ourselves and about one another, and learning to hear truthful things. And I don't know that it ever stops being hard, but my experience has been that it does become safer and safer to be a human when we can do that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what you're saying draws me to the line of this way that Adrian Rich says what it is to be in a relationship is that it's a process of refining the truths we can tell one another. So genius to me, because of course in all relationships there's a way I think, well, I could say that, but I definitely can't say that. And you know, I've been known to write letters, and my husband says to me, no, you really can't send that letter. You know, when I feel something really strongly, but, and it feels like writing it down might be the best way to say it. And then the complexity of being in a family and all those things, sometimes I also have to let go. Like in the refinement, there's also a letting go of saying what feels true to me, because there's a complex cost involved in doing that. And it is a process of refining things. And I feel very glad to know that, to feel that lots of the relationships that I do have, I've been refining things a lot, and therefore it feels, I have a lot of safety in my relationships. But there are also some relationships where my truth telling hasn't been refined at all. So I make blunders, and the refining is appealing to me now, because I can see that there are times when I wade in and my timing's off, or appropriateness is off, or it doesn't create safety sometimes. And of course there's ways that there are times when the truth is told and it does create safety as well. But just the fact that we're in a process with one another of refining feels like it paints relationship as a kind of artistry. Being together and going the hard way with one another is a kind of art. And that there's a time for certain things and a time for other things, and a feeling for what can be said and what wouldn't be helpful right now, and choosing our moments. And I know that, you know, I'm guilty of doing the thing, like with my husband, I'll lie there and it's midnight and I'll suddenly start talking about why we were born. And he's like, really? I can't have this conversation right now. Can you just be quiet, please? So I know there's all kinds of things in there around how my refinement skills, if you like, my capacity to refine rather than just be whatever I think I want to be. But in the nature of the relationship, being in that kind of dance of refinement, and feeling and letting go of whatever agenda I'm holding on tightly to and letting something unfold and being in the flow with another human being is such an incredible education. And we are complex. It is complex. I can feel it even beginning to talk about this. And partly I think that's why I feel attracted to what Adrienne Rich talks about, because it's undeniable that relationships are complicated, whether it's with our children or with our parents or with our partners or our friends or our colleagues or anybody. When you get into anything that's worth something to you personally, relationally, it doesn't take long before it's complex because of the nature of the beings that we are. We're not one-dimensional, simple things. And so I can really feel that complexity and how the word refinement is so appropriate for complex things. And I know, like in my more organizational work, I have a wonderful colleague that I work very closely with, and we often talk about kind of wafting. Like, we can't control anything. We can't, it's a human system. You can't fix anything down, but you can refine, you can be in it in a way that brings a gentle directionality without it being a forced thing or something. And it feels like when we're working with a complex system, which is this, I'm a complex system, you're a complex system, together we're an even more complex system, and then we add another person and we're even more complex. And so this word refinement is so appealing to me, because I think relationships and systems of relationships are such rich learning grounds. And the deeper we get into them, the deeper we have to reach for this honest place in us. But it also kind of, the harder it becomes as well. You know, Justin, you and I, the wider communities that we find ourselves in, the complexity of a group of 25 people all up to this kind of work in the world, for example, it's a really big thing. And so I appreciate Adrienne Rich pointing to the complexity and doing justice to it by being in the relationships in a real way. Feels very honest.
I'm very taken as you're talking, Lizzie, about a topic that we keep on circling back to, that I think in a way really is part of the not so secret project of Turning Towards Life, because it is a way of turning towards life, which is beautifully captured in what you've said and in that paragraph where Adrienne Rich talks about refining, which is when we start to see ourselves and our life as a process rather than as a thing. So if you're a thing, because I think this is a really easy mistake, if you're a thing and I'm a thing, like an object, there's a right way to talk to one another and a dangerous way to talk to one another. And if I can figure out what the right way is, then I can do just that. And then I don't have to do any more work anymore, and I don't have to worry anymore, and everything will be fine. And I think a lot of us, certainly myself included, have come at relationships that way, which is, if I could only understand you, Lizzie, I'd have all the sort of tricks and techniques to be able to be in relationship with you without bumping and without being in difficulty, and I'd have the same for myself, except it's a vast misunderstanding of what it is, first of all, to be a human, which is that we're much more like processes than we are like things. So we're changing and changing and changing and unfolding and unfolding and unfolding all the time. And so then the complexity that you talk about that's sort of within us, but also between us, is not something that can ever be grasped. Like, in order to be in relationship with you over a long period of time, one of the things I have to do is I have to give up my certainty about myself and about you. And I have to be prepared to continually learn what can happen here between us. And I'm, you know, thinking about that in my knowing you for a long time and being this conversation, but I'm also thinking about it in my own relationship with Davina, who I'm married to. And I'm thinking, we've been together for now for 30 years since we were in our teens. And one of the things for me that has made this possible and deep and rich and real has been giving up on the idea that I really have any idea what's going on. And instead, learning to come at being in relationship with a kind of wonder. And I don't just mean, because I don't mean like joyful, lovely wonder. I mean like wonder, what is this and what's called for now? And I think when I think about all of the deepest relationships I have, that's what makes them what they are, is that we have managed to find a way of giving up on having to know and giving up on having to be right and giving up on knowing what the right thing to do and wondering and letting ourselves know that this is really hard, like sort of owning up to the hardness of it. And then in a way, might be a funny way of saying it, being sort of students of one another.
Mm.
So for example, I think it really helps for me to be able to say something to you and for you to be able to say, not now, too much, not that. And then I can learn, oh, there's a different kind of truth that's called for here. So it doesn't mean when we find that in one another, it doesn't mean lying to one another. It means finding out what can be said now. And then also I find for me is finding that there are things that I could say that I didn't know I could say. It's not just whether you can take it or something. Like, can I find in myself to say what I really want or what I long for or how I'm being affected by you? So anyway, this is a sort of long way of saying, I think our turning away from life is when we treat ourselves like we're fixed, and our turning towards life is when we start to see that we're caught in an endless, unknowable, unfolding mystery, and we have to keep on learning to be in it.
Yeah.
And it's never going to be the work of pinning our friends and our partners and our children, our parents down, sort of going, I've got you, now I am, no, Lizzie, I now understand you. In a way, it's the other way, which is, teach me. And then let me see if I can respond to what you're teaching me. And that's in a way why it's delicate, terrifying and violent, is that the violent part of it is not necessarily that we intend to do violence to one another. We keep on being surprised. We keep on finding ourselves beyond the edge of our own knowing, which is a kind of place to be.
Yeah. It's really beautiful, Justin, as you're saying all those things. What's happening for me is that I'm feeling myself as an amalgamation of learningness, that everybody in my life, whoever they've been, has been in the refinement with me. And who I am now, who I've become, is a kind of cumulative effect, in a way, of all the ways I've been in relationship with people. I can really feel it. That knowing you has made me different. Knowing, being married to Matthew, my husband, has made me different. Being an auntie to my nieces and nephews has made me different. Like I feel like I'm all of a sudden in this moment, like an accumulation of all of the learning from and through relationship. And that's had me become a certain way. And then I can also feel how, in order for that to have happened, I have to have let them teach me, like you're saying. Like, I have to have been impressionable. I have to have been open. I have to have been interested, curious, wondering, like you're talking about with Davina, like being a wanderer, not a, I've got your number, this is how it's going to be, but to be receptive to otherness and to let otherness become me rather than otherness differentiate me or something. And makes me think of this concept that I feel always inquiring into, which is the nature of separation and non-separation. And actually, this feels like a really grounded example that I can find of the support for the argument in a very normal human way of non-separation. Because I can feel everyone in me I don't feel separate from everyone in that inquiry. I feel, oh, everyone's here. And my way of being in the world and what I've learned and accumulated and what will I will continue to learn and accumulate as experiences and understandings and feelings is a huge big soup of everyone having been loved by and loving and sometimes not loving and sometimes disliking and all the things. It's an accumulation that feels like it's a big who, has a big who quality in me, like who I am feels like it gets refined by the nature of the relationships I hold and the people and who they are and what they're like and what gets said and what doesn't get said. I'm feeling that really strongly now that it's a way of articulating this non-separation that's feels like an ongoing, compelling question to me.
I think that this is such an important topic and such a giant one, and it's one that's really, in a way, really hard to talk about because our everyday common experiences of ourselves is that, well, I am this, I'm this, I know myself this way, I am this fixed thing. And what you're pointing out so clearly is that we are not like that. We're much more fluid than that. We're changing all the time, but we're not just changing all the time like on our own. We're changing all the time because of who we're in relationship with and how we're in relationship with them. And sometimes it's really hard to see that we're changed by our relationship with the people who are in close and with the people with everyone. And I suppose that's my way of hearing the center of what you're saying, Lizzie, is that we're really made of relationship. And that's why what Adrian Rich is writing about is so desperately and deeply important, because if we're made of relationship, then how we are in relationship deeply shapes what's possible for us and who we can be. So this way of, I was talking about that I had come to know, of sort of trying to stay really, really, really safe by never ruffling anything. Turns out that the great suffering in it for me was feeling so afraid, as I said before, and feeling so far away that makes us, you know, even our attempts to stay away. There's a beautiful line in, we read something about Alan de Botton last week from The Course of Love, and there's this amazing part in that same book where he says the big mistake that people make when they're in intimate relationships with other people is we think that we are, so say you're married to someone, we think we're married to a fixed thing, and then we get really, really, really annoyed and frustrated when they turn out not to be or no longer to be the way that we imagine them. And he says, so the big cognitive error there is you have to remember that what you're in relationship with is not a fixed set of qualities. It's you're in relationship with life. And so the move from demanding that you be a particular way and that I be a particular way to knowing ourselves in relationship as being in relationship with life. And so we're both being changed all the time by our interactions. And our job, our work, if we want to remain in relationship in an honorable, I love this word, honorable, is to know that and is to keep walking a path together ever more, with ever more attention to what's truthful, because that is how we will find ourselves ever more truthful with ourselves and with life as well. So this whole point that you're making about we shape one another, so we can do this, we humans can do this together. And I've said this lots of times, but it seems really, really true to me that there's a very intimate relationship between being human and talk and telling the truth, and or between life and telling the truth might be a better way. That the path of refining the truth is also the path of coming back into life. Yeah. And like you say, we can only actually do it together. We can't actually do that on our own, partly because we are never on our own.
Yeah. Yeah. It strikes me that this whole thing about telling the truth, you could also say it's like being real with one another. Mm-hmm. They're really saying what's here. Really being disclosive and courageous about that. Just feels very beautiful to me. And you know, this, I'm just looking at the time, realizing that we're close to the end of this half an hour of being together, but this whole topic feels so beautifully rich and unending. It's such a joy to be in the conversation about it and to have a go, because it's actually a, like we're saying, we're complex. To talk about the complexity is a complex thing too, and to find a way of being clear and to find a way of being having our language really reflect the way that we're feeling and experiencing feels like a really mysterious something. And I, it's a kind of a never end, feels like a never ending thing to be in this and inquire into it and wander into it. So I feel very glad that we're in the conversation. And if you're listening on a podcast, just so that you know, if you want to find the source and you want to read it, there's also where it comes from is at the bottom of the source. And there's also a mention of a book by Adrienne Rich called On Lies, Secrets and Silence that comes from 1966 to 78, a kind of prose from that time in her life. So if you want to reference that, you can find that on turningtowards.life, which is our website where all of the sources go and all of these videos converge, and you can see what you're interested in listening to if you've only just joined us and you want to see what other topics we've talked about. But I would very much suggest diving into Adrienne Rich's work and doing some Googling, because it's been such a lovely thing for me in the last week, just seeing this and finding more about who she is and what she stands for, particularly in women's studies and all the things that she's written about in her life and spoken about as well. So thank you everybody for being with us. It's a really beautiful thing to be here and to be in this conversation. And Justin, just very quickly, you're teaching on the 23rd and 24th of September 2019, by the way, if you're listening in 2030, this will be irrelevant to you. But if you are listening presently and you'd like, or before the 23rd and 24th of September, and you'd like to be with Justin for a couple of days and learn some wonderful things about this coaching work, development work that we do, that's going to be very beautiful. It's in Hammersmith in London. And you can look at our website, which is thirdspace.org, or no, thirdspacecoaching.org.
Neither of those, actually, Lizzie. Oh, yes. No. One day we'll agree on what it is. It's these days, it's wearethirdspace.org.
Oh, I completely knew that. I'm sorry.
But that's the one. That's the one. If you want to find out, it would be wonderful. We've had so many people from Turning Towards Life come and learn with us because of what's going on here. And so you could expect a couple of days of a deep dive into some big questions about what it is to be human. And then on the basis of that, how might we work with one another to support our development? And I'm thinking, Lizzie, a lot about this that we've been talking about, how supporting one another's development is always a process of refining the truths we can tell one another.
Yes.
That's a big part of it. I'm very grateful for this. So it'd be so very wonderful to have you join us, and drop us a line on Facebook or use the contact details on wearethirdspace.org if you've got any questions, and maybe we'll see some of you in September.
Yeah. Thank you so much for everybody joining us today and at whatever time you're finding us. And we will be back next week at 9 o'clock on Sunday for a source chosen by Justin, which will be who knows what.
Who knows? We'll find out. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.